Statistics Canada has reported 920 hate crimes against Jews just in 2024, making Jews the most targeted religious group in Canada. What I'm really struggling to understand is that Canada is one of the most inclusive societies on the planet, the most, I'd say, liberal. You know, some people might want to use the word woke. Very, very accepting of, you know, it's okay, you just do it your way and we'll accommodate. So I'm trying to get my head around this, and I thought, well, let's speak to the president and CEO at the Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs, Noah Shack. Hello, Noah, how are you?
I'm well, thanks for having me on the program.
Thank you very much. Just to be clear, Canada isn't yet the 51st state, is that correct?
It never will be. We're very okay, proud to be Canadian and fiercely proud of our country.
Okay, just checking. All right, how did we get to this point with 920 hate crimes against the Jewish community in 1 year?
Well, there's been an alarming trend of anti-Semitism rising in Canada for years, which of course spiked exponentially following the October 7th terrorist attacks, as it has all around the world. And you know, I think your description of Canada as a tolerant and inclusive society that prides ourselves on accepting people of all backgrounds and treating everybody well with respect and equality is something that's also under attack by these attacks focused on the Jewish community. It's not just about the experience of Jews in Canada, it's about the soul of our country and what this means for our society more broadly. And that's come into sharp relief. We have seen schools shot at, synagogues firebombed, children bullied viciously in schools. These are not hallmarks of a thriving democratic society. This is something that should be a wake-up call to all Canadians about the direction that our country is going and what we need to do to put a stop to it now before it gets even worse.
Noah, where did this all start? I mean, Canada, I don't recall seeing, you know, anti-Semitic attacks reported from Canada. And I've been doing news and radio for 25 years.
I never thought, you know, growing up here, I never thought that this would be our reality. It seemed a concept that was very far away, and yet here we are. Look, we have, I think it's no surprise that some of the protests that began calling for violence here in the streets of Canada started on October 8th. We have seen a steady stream of glorification of violence, glorification of terrorism, being shouted out without consequence for a period of 2 years. And it has contributed to the radicalization of certain elements in Canadian society who feel emboldened to take matters into their own hands. Thankfully, a number of the most egregious plots have been intercepted. There are, I think, a half dozen terrorist plots that have been intercepted by Canadian authorities over the last 2 years. But we have seen the consequences of this rising hate just south of the border in the United States with the murder of a young couple outside of a Jewish community event in Washington, D.C., wow. And the murder of an elderly Jewish woman in a Holocaust survivor, I believe, in Boulder, Colorado, who was disgustingly attacked. And this is a direct outgrowth of the anti-Semitism that has run rampant and has characterized the anti-Israel movement in Canada and around the world following the October 7th terrorist attacks by Hamas.
So are Jews in Canada feeling particularly vulnerable? Or is it, you know, seeing these incidents as isolated incidents and, you know, life goes on?
Listen, on the one hand, we're a very resilient community and we are strengthening ourselves and moving forward. On the other hand, this isn't the Canada that any of us grew up in. This is a generational shift. I mean, I remember hearing stories of anti-Semitism from when my grandparents were children in this country. And we're approaching that level of hate of Jews once again that we thought we had firmly left behind us. So, we're very mindful. People are deeply concerned and distressed about the situation, not just as Jews who are being targeted, but as Canadians whose values and fundamental values are under assault with this. So I think now we have seen a tremendous coming together of the community in the face of this, and I think I'm heartened at least by the non-Jews, the allies who have come out of the woodwork to stand shoulder to shoulder with us.
And have they done that in numbers? Because that's wonderful if they have.
That's what's going to be the difference maker here, is people of good conscience raising their voices and taking action to stand against this scourge. Unless we have that kind of an awakening, things will only continue to get worse. And unless we have firm actions by all levels of government to draw a line in the sand and say this is absolutely unacceptable, and not just say it, but put measures in place to intervene and disrupt it, the trend will continue.
Do you think that the government would do that? I mean, we're sitting here, we're seeing, because we're in news, we've got a current affairs station, a news station, we're seeing, that the call for globalizing the intifada, so wherever you see protests, you're going to see destruction, and that's what happens. It's intimidation, right? Because the more destructive these protesters are, the less likely anybody's going to confront them, right? And they just get away with it, and they intimidate us. So would the Canadian government actually do anything? Like Columbia, I mean, look how long it's taken Columbia University to arrest those students. They have, all 80 of them, but would the Canadian government do the same?
So I'll tell you that in certain jurisdictions, police have acted to end disruptive protests. Certain universities were very quick to disband encampments. And in those instances, they didn't come back. They folded. And so, there are precedents in Canada for governments taking action, law enforcement taking action, public institutions taking action, and yielding results. We have a new federal government here in Canada. They've made some commitments during the election campaign to support safety zones around communal institutions to keep people from harassing and intimidating, impeding access for people going to synagogue or to school or to the community centers or to daycares, and to expand security support for the Jewish community in the face of the rising threats. Campaign support.